Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Goalie Science, the podcast that bridges the gap between goaltending, science, and peak performance. I'm your host, Jamie Phillips, a former professional goalie, currently pursuing a doctorate in physical therapy and specializing in goalie performance coaching. Joining me as always is Dr. Ben Cernik, a seasoned goalie coach and sports analytics specialist. Whether you find yourself at home, on the road, or at the rink, grab a cup of your favorite beverage and let's drop the puck on this week's episode.
Jamie, happy post-holidays.
Yeah. Hey, happy sort of like in-between holidays. So it's
Christmas. This is going to come out.
Is New Year's a holiday?
Sure. This is going to come out on Tuesday, January 2nd.
Oh.
Actually, happy New Year. You're welcome.
Happy 2024 to everyone listening and to Ben. To everybody except those people in my comments who keep telling me that goalies today would make way more saves if they stood on their feet. You guys can have a subpar 2024. What year is it? I don't know. I'm tired.
Those people will get their turn. Their heyday. Their sunshine.
Before we talk about the World Juniors, I have to say I made the cardinal goalie coaching sin this afternoon.
Yeah, crazy move. Tells us all the people.
So the GLI, the Great Lakes Invitational Tournament, is a tournament Michigan Tech hosts. It's usually Michigan Tech, Michigan State, Michigan. Michigan currently is serving like a 3 or 4 year suspension for breaking all the rules a few years ago. So it's Tech, State, Fairbanks, and Ferris State. Because I'm in the middle of my Christmas camp and I have to go down to North Carolina tomorrow, I only decided to stay and watch the Tech game. But I didn't get tickets. And if you're watching, you're going to see Ben struggling to get his microphone in order. I didn't get tickets, so I live downtown and I walked to the rink, got some box office tickets. The lady's like, "Well, there's, you know, these ones are up in the higher bowl and they're $30, or we have these ones for $70, but they're like really good seats." And I was like, "Oh, like where?" And she pointed to the corner, and I was like, "Oh, that's great! Like I can see the goalies. Like, is this great?" So I get my seat, walk down. I realize that it's the corner, second row from the glass, right where the goalie coach is not supposed to sit. Could I have moved? Probably should have, but also like I was too busy like getting some pretty good video of my boy Blake. Shout out Michigan Tech, big comeback, 2-0, down 2-0, came back 1-3-2 in overtime. I was actually very upset. I was going to leave halfway through the third when it was still 2-0, and I'm glad I didn't. Just so I can come record this podcast with Ben.
Good one. I'm an idiot.
Why would I do that?
I don't think, and I mean, most coaches probably not going to care, but it's always a hilarious move. I think for the goalie coaches listening here, they're probably laughing deeply in Jamie's face because the classic goalie coach move is you just sit so unbelievably far away from your goalies that they have no chance of seeing you at all times.
Yeah, and that's what I should have, and I should have done that. And there actually were some open seats, and I should have moved up. But I'm a very, like, when I'm out in public, I don't like to have conflict. And so the last thing I needed is someone to come up and be like, "Hey, you're in my seats." So I just took it on the chin and ate it. Two not so fun facts about the Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids. One, that's where I played my last ever college hockey game. Lost 1-0 to Ferris State. Shot off of our own forward trying to block a shot, went in. I had like a lot of saves, played really well, but we still lost, and I cried very hard at the end of the game. And then my last ever American Hockey League game was against Grand Rapids Griffins. So
did you win?
Now I live here. So you tell me if it's coincidence. Did I win? No.
So
no, technically I didn't start. I got put in relief.
Oh, so what you're telling me is that you moved back to Grand Rapids because of a deep-seated unfulfilledness from your time there, and you're trying to prove to yourself.
It wouldn't surprise me if subconsciously or even consciously that was the role. But no, I actually love Grand Rapids, and it's a good tournament. But talking about tournaments, there is a big one going on. It is called the World Junior Hockey Championships.
Yeah, WJ.
I was gonna say World Junior A Challenge, but that's for like
tier. So different. That's so different. It's never remotely close to the same thing. Yeah, we got the World Juniors going on. And for our North American listeners, congratulations. You're the ones who care the most.
And for our American listeners, it's more hockey. It's crazy. Like, growing up in Canada, is soon as, like, basically after Canadian Thanksgiving, which is in October, the only talk is World Juniors, World Juniors, World Juniors, World Juniors.
That's like,
Boxing Day is like the day when it's finally go time. And I remember growing up, like, I loved it. I remember when Canada lost their streak to the USA. I would have been playing. I remember I was actually legit sick to my stomach. I was so upset I didn't go to school the next day. And somehow my dad let me miss it. But not a lot of talk in States. Like, I guess like NHL Network covers it, but like, yep, ESPN doesn't talk about it or anything like that. So it's kind of, it's lost a lot of its luster, although there is one Michigan Tech Husky in the tournament this year. And he's on Team Finland, who is not having a great tournament, but
no.
Shout out Michigan Tech Husky again. Michigan Tech's again.
Yeah, the alumni department can officially start sponsoring you at any moment.
Yeah, why don't they sponsor this pod? They should. I should reach out.
Yeah, it's about time we up that Michigan Tech enrollment. So we're recording this on December 28th, which means we are two games into the tournament for every team. By the time this comes out, the round robin will be close to being done, so we actually have a much better idea. But this is the way too early fun time conversation. And first of all, shout out Germany for beating Finland on one of the first rounds. That was fun. I do have some population fun facts, Jamie, that relate to this. The German population is, I want to get this right, a little bit of math in my head, 16 times the size of the Finnish population. Bet you didn't know that.
No, I know Finland's small. It's what, 5 million people?
Just under 6 million people.
Okay.
Yeah. But I bet you,
boy, do they produce hockey talent though.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But I bet you didn't know this. This is something, and I say I bet you didn't know because I definitely didn't know, and then I felt just uncultured for it. Germany has 41 times the population of Latvia.
A lot of people.
Yeah, less than 2 million people in Latvia.
What is the population of Germany?
83 million people as of 2021. So probably a little bit more.
It is way more than Canada.
Yeah, twice as much. Yep.
Oh, crazy. But let's talk a little bit of goaltending here. That was geography with Ben Cernik. So going into this tournament, obviously, yeah, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, we're not even going to talk about Canada because that was a big theme last year. What's been the talk of the tournament? What have you seen, Ben, from your stats, your analytics, when it comes to any goalies we should keep an eye on?
I think like the biggest talk of the tournament is, there's no reason for me not to be able to pronounce this. And so hand up, unprepared. But Adam Gayon. Thank you. Yeah, you were. Yeah.
Minnesota's goalies commit.
Yeah. Yes. UMD commit. He's playing his 19-20-year-old year in the USHL. He was a draft plus one pick last year in the second round of the NHL draft. I think pretty much every person I saw, every person that does like just basic hockey commentary, and I say basic as in they're just like kind of more forward-facing media, all the way to my end of the spectrum of more number-focused people, all kind of had Guyon as the predicted like tournament goalie of the tournament.
Which was he was last year.
Yeah, and he had a great tournament last year. Obviously, put his name on the map because he was playing well last year in American junior hockey already. So it's unfair to say that this was really just the only reason people should have known who he was. But obviously, it does draw attention. And historically, people probably pay more attention to the World Juniors than they should. It is a small sample size right here at Goalie Science. We like to talk about how 5, 6, 7 games shouldn't define you as a goalie. There's more to it than that. But that's obviously been a big one. I think something that's like definitely flown under the radar from what I've seen is just how little people have acknowledged the American goaltending tandem, which of Trey Augustine and Jacob Fowler. So Augustine was a 17-year-old starting goalie for the U.S. last year. It was really good in that tournament up until that last game of the tournament last year. And Jacob Fowler, a third-round pick this past year, I believe. Now I'm scared that might have been a fourth-round pick. But third or fourth-round pick last year. Is at Boston College and has been like unbelievable at BC. And I've watched a few BC games this year because they're a really, really fun team to watch. So that's my commentary is I actually think the American goaltending tandem, and I should say that's unfair to their third goalie, who's Sam Hillebrand. I think the American goaltending is really fun. I was a big Augustine fan last year. I've watched BC. I like the way Fowler plays. I think they're exciting. So if all eyes on deck aren't on Guyon, I think it's I think we can spend a little bit of time on the American goalies. Now, U.S. is 2-0. They're the favorites to win the tournament. So I think people have just been really caught up with how much scoring ability is on that American team. But shout out to their goalies. They're really good. Otherwise, yeah, that's my big thing. Canadian goaltending has looked okay. Again, admittedly, I hope everything goes well for them. I got nothing else to say. We have small goalies this year. Jamie, the tournament is filled with small goalies. That's my biggest stat. A lot of small goalies under 6 feet tall.
Yeah, what's crazy is, actually, I recorded a podcast yesterday. We'll be saving it. We're kind of trying to bank some episodes here, especially some interviews. But I recorded a podcast with my buddy Roman Malkov, grew up in Russia, through the Russian goalie development model, as well as, you know, he's the goalie coach at Aquinas. He also works with a sports agency. So he's in a really good position. But we talked a lot off camera about height. And, you know, and then he had vented some of his frustrations and I agreed with a lot of his frustrations, but then we, you know, came down to, you know, obviously the NHL is kind of is set in their ways at this time. Like, unless you're an absolute like phenom, like a UC Saros or like a Shesterkin, the chances are it's an uphill battle. However, getting to like just before pro and like even the American League, you can like, if you're a good enough small goalie, like, you're not going to have any, there's not going to be like major roadblocks. Yes, people are going to look and be like, oh, well, he's small. Whatever you can play, you can play. Now, when it comes to the NHL and like contracts and stuff, it does get a little different because, you know, even when it comes to like scouting, like they actually will look at like, what is the length of your femur? And there's all different calculations and things that they will use because there's the percentage of, you know, this and that net coverage are things that the stats nerds, like Ben, will take into account on top of everything when it comes to, you know, generally making saves. But just a shout out, there's a plug for that episode. I think is really good. But I like that there are more smaller goalies in the tournament because I think it's nice to see. I think it's good for kids out there to see that and be like, if these guys are in the World Juniors, then I can be in the World Juniors. And that's important. And what happens after this, where they go on to play, who knows? But they're at like the highest level for their age group, and you know they're still having success. But isn't Trey Augustine pretty tall?
Yeah, this is like where this is how far the pendulum has swung towards tall goalies. In my head, I'm like, oh man, Trey Augustine, small goalie, 6'1".
Have
we reached the point now where we're calling 6'1" small? Maybe.
I think, well, like it's below average.
Yeah,
it's below average for the NHL. So technically, I think we have to consider it small.
Smaller side, yeah.
It's a small-ish.
the average is like just over. I mean, things have probably changed a little bit. I think the last full thing that I really read was from a few years back when the average was over 6.5 for the first time. So like, huge. Again, you think of like the average population of how many people are 6'4 and over, or let me do some conversion, 193 centimeters or over. That is, it's a lot to be over 193 or over 6'3.5 or 6'4. You're tall. Like, yeah, Jamie, you're average. And I think you walk around every day above pretty much everyone you talk to. So,
yeah, no, but I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, if you're ever around NBA players or you're around volleyball players, like they're tall human beings. And there's a reason that there is an advantage. And I guess we can say there's a huge, pun intended, advantage to being tall in the net, especially when all things skill-wise are created equal. And that's always like, you know, especially a lot of parents will vent their frustrations, and I get it, and I'm here to listen and help understand, but they're always like, well, they just took someone because they're tall. Well, I guess like that probably, like it does happen to a degree, yeah. Especially, but yeah. Also, like if you were that much better, it usually isn't an issue.
I've seen it actually more and more recently, to be honest. Like this past tryout season, I saw more and more of the height thing come into play. So I'm sure lots of people have vented their frustrations in life about being a smaller goalie. I had a conversation today with a goalie actually on the ice, their, you know, first year of high school, so they're a freshman in high school. And when I was like a freshman in high school, grade 9, I was 5'6", 5'7" ish.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you were not, but I was.
Well, actually, I was 5'9" in my OHL draft year, and then
you grew like 5 inches.
I grew a lot really quick,
leading up to that season.
Actually, I think it was 5'9" in Bantam, and then I was like 6'1" ish by the time I was in draft, and then I
there we go. Thank you.
Finished out at a nice little 6'3" and a bit,
in the nibble. Yeah, but yeah, that's kind of the only really interesting thing is I would say on average. Goaltending is smaller this year around. Now, with that being said, I'm pretty sure Rabel's in the tournament, right? I'm pretty sure that's the Czech goalie. This is how prepared I am. Michael Rabel, another early draft pick last year. He's at UMass this year, or UMass next year, I should say. No, he's at UMass this year. But yes, playing for the Czech, and he is not small. Rabel is 6'6". So, Czech starting goalie is 6'6", admittedly has not had the greatest start to the tournament, and he's been okay at UMass this year. I was just looking at some numbers as you were talking there, Jamie. Krabel is 7-3-1 at UMass. Should records matter for goalies? Do we care about records?
No. I mean, but there's so many things. Yeah, yes and no.
Yeah, yeah-ish. Okay. Yeah, he's played 12 games, started 11. 2.67 goals against average, 905 save percentage. Don't know any advanced stats. But Augustine and Fowler have both played. Again, the American goalies have both played like 17 and 18 goal or over 17 games, and they're both like 12-3-1 and 11-4-1. So shout out both all. I guess shout out UMass, Michigan State, Boston College, and just the amount of college goalies and NCAA goalies in the tournament in general,
which I like. I mean, obviously I'm biased. I love college hockey, but a lot more European goalies are going to college, and there is an avenue for that. And I talked a little bit about that with Roman, but talked about that with some disgruntled parents of North American goalies who did not like
that. All the European goalies?
But to their defense, I don't disagree with it's a lot easier for European goalies to come and play here in junior hockey than it is to go over to Europe. Yep. And so I definitely get that, and I honestly wish it was easier just to play. Like if you're a Canadian kid and you want to go play in Finland J20 or U20, sure, like why not? If you can play, but I know there are like different import rules and all these things you got to go around, but I really wish that that availability, you know, was there. But anyways,
yeah, like this will be kind of the last one before we take our break and get into our main thing. I think the hardest thing to just come to terms with at the end of the day is that playing university, playing college, playing junior A, anything above that, it's such a small pool of people who get to do that in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Right? It is. It's a small pool. So that's why we always, again, when whether we're being critical or supportive, boys, we're always aware, like, hey, you've played junior hockey of any kind. That's more than a lot of people get to do. So that's fantastic. It's great. It's a really cool opportunity that you've had to have in your life, right? When we get into NCAA, these junior leagues, right? We've seen a lot more European goalies come and play in the NAHL, for example, and then end up in the USHL, right? A lot of the time, and then we get into junior and college, a lot of the time, these are essentially the job list to win, right? So people are looking for the best player. So yes, is it necessarily fair if you're kind of what we'd say maybe a bubble player and you don't get quite the same opportunity? No, it sucks. Like, it absolutely sucks to lose a spot. No defense from me there. But also, you know, if you lose a spot to Michael Hrabal or Adam Guyon, they're both second round NHL draft picks. They're pretty good. We get into the conversation where we start truly calling them elite athletes, right? They're second NHL picks. They're going to play professional hockey. We want to use the proper terms. Professional athletes are elite athletes. There you go, right?
Yeah.
I, not an elite athlete. Sorry. Jamie, retired elite athlete.
I've retired. Definitely not elite anymore. And it is disappointing how not elite I am, but that's okay.
That's fine. Better change topics. We're going to take a break here quick. So see you in a few seconds.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Back. Hopefully that and the break's going well. I hope people let us know. I truly have had not heard any feedback. The breaks are going poorly. Jamie, what do you think?
I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't listen to the podcast back because I do their editing manually now for YouTube. I had a software and AI thing, but it didn't work because the way we do our audio isn't like technically professional. So it didn't work the way I wanted it. So I do go back and listen to it on 2 or 3 times speed. As I edit it, but I just in the break I put on YouTube, I put like a pump to the Patreon just because we don't have any official sponsors, but I don't listen to it on Spotify, although I did once and I was with my dad and I was very impressed that we had ads at the start.
Yeah, you're welcome for that one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Again, someone wants to sponsor us, just let us know. We did turn down sponsorship money because it wasn't we didn't really think it fit the vibe of the podcast, and it wasn't something that we were both comfortable taking money from. So in order to make up for that and our great, great ethics, feel free to throw us a sponsor.
Yeah, and if you believe that Jamie displays incredible ethics, you should go subscribe to his Patreon page, and that's the earliest plug I think we've had in a while. Okay, Jenny, our conversation today, again, normally stems from either something cool in the scientific community that we find or something that makes us upset on the internet. And this week, we've spun the roulette wheel and the 90% stuff that makes us mad on the internet, part of the wheel has won. And it does stem from a few nights ago, I guess it'll be a few nights ago from when this comes out, Travis Zegras and Connor Bedard scored lacrosse style Mike Legg, Michigan style goals, whatever you want to call it.
Call it Michigan. I call it the Michigan.
Yeah. Does that a disservice to Mike Legg?
I think so. But he played on Michigan. So I think ultimately you represent your alma mater, but I also thought it's, anyways, But you know what actually cracks me up is you ever see that guy on TikTok or Instagram? He used to be one of like the those two like goofball guys that would play like beer league hockey.
Oh, I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but he went on. I guess I don't know if they're to get together, but he does his own thing. But he always pretends to be like a little kid. And he always is pretending to be Connor Bedard. And he goes, Connor Bedard, toe drag Michigan. I think it's every time I see a Michigan goal, that's in my brain how I just picture it. Like kids just love doing Michigan. And to be fair, like I pull every training session, I probably pull one out too. Yeah. But I know you have your thoughts on it and I have my thoughts on it. So I think we disagree on this one. So let's talk about it.
Okay. So anyway, the commentary is not so much that, you know, is the Michigan bad or fun or cool? I think it's fun. I think it's fun doing it. I think it's cool that players are doing it in a game. But the commentary I'm hearing is that the reason so many Michigan goals are going in is because goalies are going down on wraparound attempts. And I need to talk about this, Jamie.
I'm gonna let you vent, and then so you can take all my main points before I absolutely blow a gasket on this.
Yes. So again, like all things, hockey is an adapting and evolving activity. Now, if a player goes really fast around the net, the quickest way to get there and cover the most likely attempt to stop that play is by sliding into your post. Not a super complicated phenomenon. Now, players are really, really, really good in the NHL, it turns out, and the other leagues as well. People are really, really skilled, really good.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. And so now they are in one motion on that wraparound attempt, seeing the goalies reading it and going down and pulling this off. I cannot express to you, and then sorry, the people, the responses I'm seeing is, well, the goalies are going down too early thing. Right? Well, girls got to stay on their feet to prevent the Michigan. And my only response is, do you want to see wraparound goals go in along the ice again? Because that's how you get wraparound goals in along the ice again.
It is, yeah. And that's, well, again, it's just like, well, goalies should just stand up and everything. Yeah, but when how is in the puck slow? And I think the most incredible thing, and you and I texted about it, was just the sheer speed which they picked it up and did that. Like you again, we don't have like time to process that. When everyone's like, why don't you just come across and like lay your shoulder? Like it's hard. And it's hard when it's fast because when that you have to figure out what's going on. Okay, they're wrapping it around. Okay, I'm gonna go process that information and then start to slide to the other side. And then all of a sudden the puck's in the air in a way that's like shouldn't be. And now it's in your net. And as someone who gave up a Michigan goal, which is the 2017 ECHL like goal of the year, it happens really quick, and you're not expecting it. And again, like Ben said, if goalies were just playing wraparounds, expecting a Michigan, they're just gonna give up goals on the ice. And there's a lot of wraparound goals on the ice than there are Michigan attempts. So again, what do you want? Do you want 9 goals a game that are all wraparounds, or do you want 1 or 2 Michigan goals a month?
I remember growing up playing like Timbits hockey. So my parents throw me in like 4-year-old hockey. And I remember there was a drill called the Gretzky where you would just stand behind the net as a 4-year-old and just pick up like a bunch of pucks and go back and just wrap around and try to put the puck in the net over and over and over again. They called the Gretzky drill. Because Wayne Gretzky used to just do that, just skate out and put the puck directly along the ice into the net, right? And then we evolved as goaltenders, and then we were like, oh, okay, that's really stoppable if we just use a butterfly and have pads that are not shaped like clouds.
But it's true. I'm laughing because, like, I don't know, just some of these arguments that I see for things are critical thinking. It's just out the window sometimes. And actually, I gotta go find it. There was a clip where I scored on one of my high school goalies from the dot, and he stood up, and I still buried it crossbar down. Sweet shot, obviously. But
sick.
It's just like, okay, he didn't go down, and I still scored. So I thought standing up cured everything.
Yeah. And it, Yeah. And obviously, again, so this is complicated, right? I think people should go back, watch all the, again, if this is a homework assignment for someone, go back and watch all the Michigan lacrosse style goals that we've seen over the past couple years and really evaluate if that goaling was down too early as that being the culprit, right? I think the one the other day I saw was like a pretty, I think this one was pretty stationary, if I remember correctly. But I might now be just mixing things up with another goal I saw, right? In the case where there's a player behind the net and they're stationary and the D are just waiting, if you're down in the RVH, I understand why. If you're down in the position, I understand why. But you could also be on your feet there. But with that being said, as soon as the player moves, right? I don't know. This is why it's tough. I just really don't see, as players are doing it with more and more speed, I don't see any way that you can just actively stay on your feet on that play.
I know you're not going to actively stay on your feet, but the only, you know, I think the best way or the only way is to identify that the Michigan's happening and then have your glove or blocker or somehow shoulder or head against the post in order to take it. Because even then, what happens if the puck falls off his stick and then they just wrap it around and score on you low? Yeah. Or if there's a rebound and now there's havoc at your feet, there's a reason why, like, you go down and pucks are in tight because you eliminate the bottom of the ice. And then when the rebounds are there, you don't have to scramble and go crazy for the rebound. And again, like, the people, it's just, I don't know. It's so frustrating to see. For someone listening, I actually like the Michigan. I think it just adds an element of just like, you know, I mean, obviously I can't stand when I work hockey camps and the kids are like, can we do Michigans? Can we do Michigans? Like, no, like, we're doing goalie skating. But in a game, I think it just adds in another element of unknown. And it's cool because it gives goalies a new challenge. Like, what, how someone's going to adapt? Can someone adapt some way to make it more effective to, like, both seal the bottom of the ice and be able to kind of like prevent Michigan? I don't know. I don't have it. I don't have the answer.
Yeah. So something I've actually talked about with, I would say, kind of, you know, still minor hockey goalies, but 14, 15, 16 year old about it is, it's two-piece, right? So if you're down, let's say you're down as a player is coming around the net, right? I think one of the things that happens, which people can be guilty of, is you just slide post to post and you give up your eyesight on the puck, right? So sometimes that happens. Goalies give up their eye line to the puck behind the net, and then something like a Michigan can happen. Or we've seen, you know, the classic player skates one way and then passes back behind their body because you've just assumed they're going, you lose sight of the puck. We see goals like that all the time. That's not, that goal type of goal is not dissimilar from a Michigan, right? It's like you said, Jimmy, a lack of identification of the threat there. And you get scored on. It happens. It's hockey. I think one thing that you can do is if you do have early identification. So that's step one. Keep your eyes on the puck. Make sure that you're going post to post while already being down.
And not T-pushing.
Yeah, please don't T-push. That's the solution. T-push post to post standing up. You won't give up a Michigan. You will get scored on 6 times a game on wrap routes.
Yeah.
But you will not get Michiganed.
That's, hey, it's all the people care about.
Yeah. Once you've identified, something that you can do is, I think a lot of the goalies will see it late and they try to just rush their shoulder into that top crease. You can just punch outside your post with your hand.
I think, yeah, like, not that I think.
Literally reach to the post and outside the post with your hand.
It all comes down to identification. Now, if you identify it early, get your hand outside that net because you honestly want to interfere with the stick.
Yes, not even the puck. Just
and even on the blocker side, like, it sounds crazy, but I'm actually okay with you, like, legit, like, almost sword fighting on the blocker side. If you identify and you come across and, like, you get your knob into their blade, or even your blocker's coming across, your stick's there. And again, like, it sounds bad because it will result in high sticking. And I actually think I did once high stick somebody in the face during a game like that. I definitely got a penalty for it because it was in pro and they didn't have masks on or cages on. But it's just the risk you have to take. Yeah. Like, there's something has to change. Something has to evolve because this is something different. This is something that's not the generalist or the purist, like, ideal of hockey. This isn't into it, but I dig it and I like it. And I just, and not when I, when I see a Michigan goal, I don't go, oh, that's so crazy, so gross. I just go, like, I just see it as a normal goal.
Yeah.
I like that there's another way to score, and that's cool.
Yeah, I think this is another example of kind of, again, like, the same conversation we have a lot with the RVH and being down on post. This is, goalies have become so good at wraparounds. It's gotten to the point now that when I do wraparound drills with goalies, one of the first things I'll say is, hey, you're going to make the wraparound save every time. How do you play the rebound? Because goalies have become so automatic on wraparounds. And so
I haven't really had to reinforce any wraparound technique. Remember when we were younger, we learned and like talked about it. Yeah. Because kids are so good at skating, like down skating, skating on their feet. And they, this, you know, that's all they do, because they don't want to skate on their feet. But they hit their posts and their wraparound techniques is pretty perfect. Yeah. When we get into like RVH to RVH and that kind of stuff, we get a little bit more nitty gritty. But just generally stopping in a wraparound, I don't have to worry about it. It's everything else. So that
it's the rebound after, it's the development after.
Understanding the play, using your windows on your feet and on your knees and pushing, being patient and all that. And which is great, because now we can get into like a lot more advanced things and we don't have to spend 2-3 lessons just doing mechanics of a wraparound. We can jump right ahead. And so that's one of the cool things in like about development of goalies and like the progression that their position's taking. And I think that's really cool. And I let you finish up here, but there was one thing that popped in my head where we talked about progression of goalies. And I think there's actually something that came to mind. I talked about Derek. We sort of have like an informal pod. Probably the audio got messed up, so it's not going to be an actual podcast. And also way too much swearing. But there is a regression. I am seeing a little bit of a regression in our position, and it's something that I've been trying to address with the goalies that come across my table.
Is this just going to be another half split rant?
Ah, you knew it.
Did we
rant about it last time?
Yes, you were.
We did. You're right. But it feels like so long ago that, because
time means nothing to you.
I had two podcasts on my own without you.
Big guy.
But I think that is a regression where like a lot of young goalies are not extending their legs into saves. Actually, I heard from a anonymous source, but there's other goalie coaches out there that actually don't teach goalies to extend while they're sliding, because it opens them up, which is dumb, because what side of the net is open?
It is the
fun. How are you going to eliminate the largest part of the net?
Hold on. When you say don't extend, do they mean just slide perfectly compact in a butterfly?
Perfectly compact.
Oh, okay.
Butterfly.
I was going to say, I haven't in the last 5 years been like, as you're sliding, please kick that leg up and open. But I have said you have to extend your, I want to make
no, sure but that. You have to slide and lead with the toe. And
yeah,
extend. Yes. You're not, lead with like, your honestly, toe. You're not focused about covering the five hole. If they shoot it back on you, you just collapse it. But you have to close off the available net.
You do. Yeah, I think that regression comment is just, again, I've said this before and I'm fine to say it again. I think the floor of goaltending technique is just so much higher than it's ever been. And obviously that's how things develop, right? Like anything develops and gets better, we raise the floor, we raise the floor, we raise the floor. So for example, I was watching remember like the 18 round shootout, speaking of World Juniors earlier, the 18 round shootout from when we were kids.
Oh, like Carey Price?
Right?
So good.
Go back and watch that shootout, watch those goalies, watch the moves the forwards are doing. You will gasp at how bad that hockey is. Like, I watched Carey Price, like, falling over, like, one knee down, kicking leg. Like, it's not good, right? It's compared to what we see now, it's objectively bad. And so that's part of this half split dilemma, I think, is because you're right. We've raised the floor so much that there's this baseline that we now try to get everyone to that same spot. And now we've taken away a little bit of reaching into saves or extend. I shouldn't say reaching, because that's not the wrong word, but extending and driving into saves, because the really good goalies who do it make it look effortless. Whereas you watch Carey Price extend into a save in 2007, and let me tell you, that was someone extending into a save.
Yeah, and that's just progress, and the style has changed and the play has changed. Now even when I go watch U14, U15 kids, I'm like, this is way better than when we played. Like,
so much.
It was, to be fair, it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But like, it's so good. And like, even like, I have a U10 goalie who technically is like incredible. Like, he's better technically in skating than like some like U17, 18s that come across. And obviously he's like four feet tall.
Yes,
and hopefully grows and is still able to maintain that. But like, I just see this and I'm like, I would have given anything to be as good a skater as you are now at nine when I was in college.
We had a skate the other day where we had three U10 AAA goalies as a group. And they're the goalies we've worked with for a little while. So, you know, obviously full credit to me and not
anyone else.
Not the kids who have worked extremely hard and who are like awesome kids. We're watching them skate and I'm just like sitting there being like, they are like, I couldn't butterfly slide when I was your age. I was kicking pucks into the slot.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was like
back cutting
in
the laws coming across.
In our holiday camp, we were doing, we were doing our 20 minutes of skating to start, and we were doing power pushes, and I was telling the story on rest, and I remember distinctly the first time I ever tried to power push. I was playing Caledonia rep hockey. I would have been 13 or 14, and this is when, like, legit power pushing on your knees, like, pushing on your knees, staying down, was new, like, new, and I remember... Because also back then, goalies didn't sharpen. There was still the belief that goalies are supposed to have dull skates.
Yep.
And I couldn't push. And I remember my goalie partner was there. Brent Friedman was the name. And I remember saying, I don't know how Jose Theodore is able to do this because I can't push. Like, how are they doing this? I thought it was, like, so insane. But now it's just, like, it's automatic. Like, it's not even an issue. You do a butterfly, you do a power push. Like, you don't even have to even... First time being a goalie and I sometimes have players that will joke around and do power pushes like it's nothing.
Yep.
And for at one point that was like hard and crazy.
I used to be scared to be like, ooh, I'm gonna have to teach power pushes to young kids today, like as a drill, as a coach, as a younger coach, maybe 10 years ago. I'd be like, power pushes, that's not gonna go well. And now you have eight, nine-year-olds who are like cutting and pivoting while staying down, while down skating and
putting
perfectly. Yeah, it's awesome. Like, man, like,
it's great.
Yeah. Like, it's again, and this all ties back in with because we had these goalie tending has evolved and the floor is raised so high. We have people who Michigan every chance they get because it's the only way to score.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, if you have the opportunity to lift the puck up and get it in the air from behind the net versus throw it at the goalie's feet. Like, why not try?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? And I know, like, people are upset. It's ruined the history of the game. But I think it's just the way it goes. And until they, like, say no more Michigans, which they never, ever will.
No.
At least I hope not. It's just part of the game. And it's just progress. And so let's, as goalies, let's figure out what we can do in a smart way that is able to both seal the ice and then cover up high. But then when we do that, someone's going to think of something else to get around us. There's a reason that goals are is going up across all leagues and because players are catching up.
Yeah, they're good. Players are good. And yeah, I think ultimately, again, we kind of take our usual detours. I just don't want to see goalies playing wraparounds on their feet. I would love goalies to see better usage of staying on their feet. I do think, both Jamie and I are part of the camp who think goalies use RVHs too much. Like, we're in that.
Oh, yeah.
When people get upset with us on that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, we're on the exact same side. I agree with that. There is too much. There is an overuse of RVHs. There are goalies who are in an RVH when the puck is at the top of the circle against the boards. Like, that's how prominent it's become.
Yeah. Right? And a lot of people are like, well, what are your thoughts on the overlap? I'm like, I love it. What are your thoughts on the RVH? Love it. Thoughts on the VH? Love it. But it's all situational. It's not a one or the other. It depends on your situation. And like, I put out a lot of RVH content for one reason. Well, two reasons. It's people love it and it's clickbait. And it gets shared. Not very clickbait, but it gets shared a lot. But I also want to try to inform, educate on like when to use it properly. Like, if you're going to use it, do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you should also know how to overlap. And I think one of the biggest like challenges and the things that's disappointing, like I get frustrated. The one thing that spend a lot of time on is just that overlap to RVH transition.
Oh, it's
one of the hardest ones. Yeah. But once you get really good at it, like your game becomes so much more simple. And actually, like, both goalies at today's college game, both Blake and Fairbanks goalie, Ontario guy, can't remember his last name, tall, so tall, got to be like 6'6", from Aurora, Ontario. I remember that because at the starting lineup, they had a lot of Ontario guys, actually. But
they always do, yeah.
Their entries into their posts were really, really good. And I was like, nice. Like, because I remember even a few years ago when I was doing pre-scouts for college or for tech, there were a lot of goalies that struggled with that transition. And I would tell the forwards, like, hey, like, as you get to this point, throw it at their feet because it's going to create a rebound. And it's nice. It's cool to see that goaltending is progressing where that's becoming a lot more automatic for, like, higher level guys.
Jimmy, was this shutout Pierce Charleston? Is that the goalie?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Well, he's played 17 games for Fairbanks this year.
So I'm assuming it's him.
6'2". Is your height radar bad?
There's no way.
There is no goalie on Fairbanks over 6'4".
Well, is there one at 6'3"?
Yeah, but he's from Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia.
Oh, well, whoever does their... That stat is not correct. After the show, give them a Google and, like, hopefully they have the one. Like, you know, you can tell, like, where is their pant?
Yeah.
Where are the pants when they're at the crossbar? Like, it was his low back was on the thing. I didn't get any video of him because I was only taking video of Blake. And that's really funny because I'm pretty sure I ended up on the Jumbotron a few times and it was just me holding my phone recording, just being an absolute clown. But like, I also texted my girlfriend and I was like, I'm nervous. She's like, why? I was like, well, I'm just like nervous because I want Blake to do well and I want Tech to do well. And like, I feel like, you know, as like a goalie dad or coach, but I'm also like so incredibly proud to see them and the success he's having. And then it was just like, and that was also sad because I'm no longer a part of Michigan Tech.
Oh boy.
It's just like, so it's just a roller coaster of emotion. So I was just there mean mugging the whole time taking video.
Jimmy, I had terrible news. And it is that every I'm on the Alaska Fairbanks roster page.
Yeah.
You've lost your touch.
I'm going to find an image and show you because he was objectively tall. Maybe because Blake's so small.
I think this is what we're doing. I think we have a compare and contrast situation.
No, but I remember seeing him at the other end. I was like, okay, this guy's pretty tall. And then when he came down to my end, because I was basically glued to the glass, he's pretty tall. He actually, and you know what? He played pretty darn well. He had some big time saves.
Well, shout out. We believe Pierce and also Blake.
What was his last name?
Charleston. This is good content right here. Pierce, I hope everyone who's listened this long, this is what you're waiting for.
It has to be Pierce
Charleston. This is called Ben and Jamie Use Elite Prospects.
Live on the pod. Anything else we wanted to talk about? 20. Oh, we should do our goalie New Year's resolutions.
Well, okay, we got 5 minutes here. Let's wrap it up real quick. Jamie, you're going to have one goalie New Year resolution. You're put in the spot. One thing. I think last year we did this. Things we were hoping to change in 2022 or 2020 that didn't happen. What's your one thing? Let's see the one thing that you're sad didn't change in 2023 and the one thing you're optimistic for in 2024.
One thing I'm sad didn't change is the amount of skate on post RVH goals. Don't love that. Actually, it's funny because every time a goal goes in, even today, someone was like, you have to watch the Switzerland game, bad skate on post goal. And I was like, love it. Content. So I'm still upset that there's a lot of like fight against that. But whatever. If you want to give up horrible goals, you can give up horrible goals. And my New Year's resolution, one thing that I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I should have thought about this. I didn't prep.
Well, I have a cat. Oh, here, you think. Okay. I was going to say, there's actually, again, in Canada, there's a really, really good World Juniors commercial. During World Juniors, they always had these commercials of drills for coaches and parents to watch. And there's a really good drill with Scott Ratzlaff. That's just a RVH entry and the step out from your RVH to the top of your crease for like a hand save. It's like a warm-up drill. But they have these really close, like, close-ups of Ratzlaff's boot entering the post. And he has just the loveliest boot on post RVH. Into the crispest step out to the top of the crease. And the moment I saw that, I was like, that somewhere right now, Jamie's smiling because they didn't demo a skate on post step out. And if anyone has seen that commercial, or I'm sure you can just Google it by now, it's probably on the internet somewhere. It's a great step out, and it's crisp and it's strong and it is not skate on post, and Ratslap does it wonderful in this commercial. So that's one comment. Jamie, my one thing that I am sad about that did not change is the current state of junior hockey stats and the quality of junior hockey stats. Especially, I get so many people who are like, oh, my in stats said this, but my other thing said that. The shot counter said this. Both are wrong. Tell you this right now. Both are wrong.
There's really no solution.
There's no winning. The correct winning is you have someone who has a behind-the-net camera who is able to record every time a puck would have gone in had you not been there as the goalie. Until that happens, and this is unfortunate, I tend to talk about stats, right? I care a little tiny bit about save percentage, but ultimately it's not that good of a stat. We've talked about this before. Jamie's going to put out some more content about that in the next little bit. But it sucks. It sucks for everybody out there who's trying to move up, and we know teams look at your save percentage and we know it's not accurate. So my 2023 sadness is the amount of goalies who messaged me and said, my stats are absolutely bungled this year by stats counters. And I'm sad. I'm sad for you too.
The one thing that I hope changes, and this one may be, I don't know, it's not as hot, not really hot, but I hope to see less goalies wearing like the one piece skate just due to the amount of repair issues. I've been dealing with a lot of guys, a lot of them that have the one piece, something breaks and they have to get like new skates. So they send it back to True. And it's a huge kind of ordeal. So I would like to see more goalies just keep up with the, I guess, like less, there's not many that wear them. I would like to see mostly younger goalies, minor hockey goalies, even junior hockey, in two-piece, just because when something breaks, it's a lot easier to fix. And I know this sounds like trivial and dumb, but if you don't have your normal skates, or you don't have skates are expensive, and it's hard to have a backup pair of skates. So I hope just people think critically about getting like one-piece skates, unless you live in Winnipeg and you can drive your skates to True and get them to fix it by hand. It's something to think about, because even when I played in the coast, I switched to the two piece because I knew it was far away, and I was like, something goes wrong, it's not gonna be good.
Is True Stuff manufactured in Winnipeg?
Their headquarters are out of there, so yeah. I guess I don't know where it's manufactured, if it's manufactured overseas or in North America. But every time I had issues with my one pieces, the guy from True came to the rink, picked him up, fixed them and got them back before the game time. So like, unless you have that kind of service, in my opinion, I think it's better to stay in like two piece, just because if something goes wrong, you can switch the cowling, you can switch this, and you don't have to replace the entire skate.
That is a hot take.
Mm.
I don't know how I feel about it, but I, you know what we say here at Goalie Science is that you're entitled to your opinion.
Except when it's different than mine.
Except if it doesn't agree with us, in which case we will slander you.
No
slander. My one thing that I am optimistic for, and it maybe I'm feeling cheery, I'm feeling positive from the World Juniors. I like World Juniors. I think I love junior hockey. I'm not, as Jamie makes fun of me all the time, I love consuming all hockey that's not the NHL. I think there's so much good quality, whether it's European pro, junior hockey, women's pro, women's college, whatever it is. I think there's so much good quality with different types of hockey. So as Jamie knows, the thing that I'm optimistic for, because I'm inspired by the World Juniors, is I think that people might be trending towards, this goalie stops the puck really well. I don't mind that they're 5'10". And hear me out. Hear me out.
That is hot. That is a hot take.
Hear me out. Everyone in the North America loves Dustin Wolf, right? I have never seen the people unite behind a goalie quite like Dustin Wolf. And
he's the sort of the people's goalie. So UC Saros, in my opinion, is the people's goalie, but I think UC Saros is the people's prince.
Yeah, I think part of the Dustin Wolf saga as well is just the blatant disrespect for Jacob Markstrom, who I think is a wonderful goalie. I think he's so good.
I think he's really good. And you know what? I didn't love Vladar because him and I played against each other.
Yeah.
And I beat him every single time. So I was a little bitter about that. But I think Vladar is also like, I watched a few of his games and I was like, oh gosh, I got to admit, like he's pretty good.
Yeah, Calgary's kind of bad. I'm sorry.
I know.
Like, I'm sorry. I wrote a report about this last year, but from the season, from two seasons ago to last season, it was like a 40% increase in high danger and medium danger chances for Vladar and Markstrom from the year before. Like their workload just got so much more difficult last year. And Markstrom's been excellent in the last 2 games. Anyways, but my point to Dustin Wolf and the World Junior thing is I do think that, you know, as all trends in sports do, we like rapidly jump on board the train. And there will be some teams who will never draft a goalie under 6'3" or 6'4". They just won't. It's the mantra. It's the way their front office operates. But I think we've seen some really good goaltending. And I think there's something I like to delineate too, but I think there's a lot of really fun smaller goalies who are fun to watch. So I think one of the reasons people love Saros, aside from the fact that, you know, he's 5'9" and other goalies can relate to not being 6'4", is that because he is smaller, he's, as we've talked about, he's an excellent skater, but he just slides a lot. Like he has to slide so far because he's just little.
Because he's almost always behind the play because he's just so small.
Exactly. And it's like, everyone's like, oh, and I think that's what draws people to goalies like him. Same thing that we see with Shesterkin, same thing that you see with Dustin Wolf, these goalies who are like probably, let's be honest, they're listed at 6 feet. They're not six feet. They're like 5'10" and a half, which is, again, shorter for goalies, but not that short in the grand scheme of things. But you like, they're fun to watch play because they have to cover so much distance. And so they're exciting to watch play. And I think if anyone was watching the first World Junior game with Team Canada, Matisse Rousseau made this backdoor save. And a part of the reason that it was so fun is, one, his like skate was not functioning properly in the first period, and so he slips. And so he has to kind of make this awkward push. But he's smaller. He has to cover a way bigger distance on a backdoor pass, so it looks more fun.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It looks more fun, which is more entertaining to watch.
Yeah, it's like kind of why you know what, I'm going to say, it's why Connor Hellebuck looks boring. It's why when you watch him play, it's boring. He's just positionally sound.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's really good with his hands forward, jacks pucks well, and so, like, he doesn't move a lot, right? Like, again, imagine Henrik Lundqvist if Henrik Lundqvist didn't make toes-up kick and windmill saves.
Oh, you'd be like, this guy's so boring because he's so positionally strong.
Yeah, he pivoted around his goal line for 15 years, right?
So yeah,
that's my take. I think the game is going to transition that we're going to, again, we just talked about, there is a upcoming generation of incredibly skating goalies, and now you kind of have to be. What that does, now don't get me started about like the 6'6" goalies who are incredible skaters, because now it's not even fair, and there are people like that, Andre Vasilevsky. But I think this is happening. I think we are actually going to see they're 5'10", that's fine. I think we are going to see a bit of a push now because goalies are just going to stop. They're just stopping pucks. They're just so good, such good skaters and such impressive athletes that I'm optimistic. I'm going to be wrong. I'll tell you this right now. It's wrong, but I'm optimistic for it, and I'm going to stick to my guns for it. And I'm going to have the people support.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have the people support, and I'm probably not. They're going to be like, well, I like my one-piece skate. I like all the super loud noise it makes when I stop. And you're like, well, when something breaks, it's not good.
You look good.
You do. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, watching. Again, share, like, subscribe. If you do want goalie content, it's really good. I put a lot of new videos up on Patreon, actually. I got some time off, and I've been editing like crazy because my girlfriend is away, and that means I can work all day, and I can work myself into oblivion because I'm a workaholic. But, yeah. Show shout out, help support us. If you or someone you know would like to sponsor an episode, whether you run a business or just a person, you just want to give a shout out, you know what? If you want to promote yourself and you get your name out there, feel free to sponsor an episode. We'll do it.
Yeah. We're going to start called a deep dive section where we go through your elite prospects page when you played 2 years in McCoursville, Indiana. And we'll dive into the nitty gritty there.
But thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. I don't know when we're going to drop some of the interviews, but we have some really ones excited, like cool ones coming up. And Ben's going to do his own interviews too for the first time. So
I'm looking forward to seeing how Ben carries the show.
Like many people have said before, the Ben-only episodes are...
It actually does. It did really well. It did really well.
People forget that. But yeah, thank you, everyone. Happy holidays. We hope you enjoyed all the time with family and friends and all that jazz, and we hope it's great. And when you're listening to this, the Goal with Science podcast wishes you a hot start to the back half of the 2023-2024 season. Until next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.